Operator, you have the docket printed in the handbook on pages 2 and 3, and I have several requests for special orders. And I, as you get those ready and make note of those, I will move the docket with the following special orders being added into them. Number one is that we may have a partial report. We amend the docket to have a partial report of the Committee on Administration, that is, Committee of Commissioners on Administration, immediately following the stated clerk's report today. That will be the place where we will make the rule changes that will pertain to this assembly's operations. And they want to make that portion of their report dealing with rule changes for assembly operations immediately following the stated clerk. The other points would be that there are requests for two special orders on Tuesday, and I would suggest we just take them in this order, that at 1:30 p.m., immediately following our return after lunch on Tuesday, that the Assembly's Examining Committee be heard. They want to be heard early this year since it may affect some of the reports of other permanent committees, and they want to be able to report on those whom they have examined. That's at 1:30 on Tuesday. And then immediately following that, the next order of business, that report should be quite short. Immediately following that, put in as a special order the hearing of the Conference Center Committee report. This is done for the convenience of the special consultant that the Conference Center Committee will have here tomorrow. He has to leave tomorrow evening, and this is a way in which we can get a chance to hear this particular gentleman. And then the Insurance Committee has asked to be moved up. We haven't really settled on that on Friday as a specific hour on that, but they may want to be moved up to Friday morning, but that would be all. Oh, and I have omitted, and I should put that in, that immediately following the program presentation on the Committee on Administration comes the time for the report of the Committee on Administration. You have that with regard to each of the other committees, and it's just simply an omission here. You have the Mission to World Program and then the Mission to the World Report. So also with administration. It comes following that 8 a.m. presentation on Friday morning. Immediately following the program presentation will come the administration report, and then I believe we'd want the insurance report immediately following that. Mr. Moderator, I would move the docket as thus amended.
You've heard this motion by the stated clerk for these changes in our docket. Are there any objections? Speaker at mic 11 is recognized.
Moderator, I'm Harry Miller from Evangel Presbytery. The Committee of Commissioners on Christian Education would like to give a special report dealing with matters pertaining to Covenant College at 7:30 tomorrow evening. That could be included in our amendments to the docket.
That would be 7:30 on Tuesday evening.
On Tuesday evening, yes,
right.
Sir.
Get the stated clerk in just a minute.
Excuse me.
He has a 7:30 on Tuesday evening.
What is that request again, sir? I'm sorry, I was discussing another matter. We also need to include the Abortion Committee on Tuesday as well. And what is this one?
The Committee of Commissioners on Christian Education wish to report on matters pertaining to Covenant College tomorrow evening at 7:30. We have matters to bring to this assembly which, if approved, will have to go back to the Reformed Presbyterian General Assembly.
Mr. Moderator, could I ask the Commissioner how long he thinks that report would last?
We're not through with it in our committee yet. It's kind of difficult to say. I would suspect an hour to an hour and a half. Our presentation will be brief. I suspect the discussion will be rather lengthy.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, one other thing we do need to get into Tuesday, if possible, since the man is coming in, a doctor who is on the abortion committee, needs to be placed on Tuesday as well. May I suggest that we place the abortion committee third after the conference center? In other words, we'll have examination committee at 1:30, special order for the conference center immediately following that, the next one, the abortion, and then the 7:30 p.m. for this partial report on Christian education.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Speaker, mic 5 is recognized.
Central Florida Presbytery, the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business would like to present a partial report sometime this afternoon at the convenience of the Assembly.
Okay. Mr. Moderator, if we have time, I would think we could do that immediately following the partial report of the Administration Committee. We'll put that in right at that point.
Thank you.
Mr. Jack Williams was recognized.
We're not finished with the final adoption of the document, Mr. Williams.
Excuse me. Okay. We'll save you to later.
If there are no other corrections, then could we have the adopted as amended?
You've
sir?
Heard these proposed changes to the docket. Are there any objections? Hearing none, they are approved.
I think, Mr. you could recognize Mr. Yeah.
We recognize Mr. Jack Williamson.
Moderator, fathers and brethren, Jack Williamson, Evangelical Presbytery, have a resolution. I recommend that the Book of Church Order, section 15-1-12, be amended to read as follows. The Assembly Permanent Committees are Committee on Administration, Committee on Christian Education and Publications, Committee on Mission to the United States, Committee on Mission to the World. Each committee shall be composed of 12 members, divided into four classes of 3 men with 4-year terms. Explanatory note. This eliminates the provision that a person who has served a full term or 2 years of a partial term would not be eligible for re-election to an assembly committee until 1 year has elapsed.
Mr. Moderator, proper handling of this would be place this in the hands of the Judicial Business Committee for its recommendation to the Assembly.
Yes, so ordered.
Mr. Moderator, we are ready for the welcome of the host church unless we have that report on the moderatorship, do we?
No, sir. They
not
have not
yet.
Finished the tally yet, sir.
Yes.
Have you? No,
yes.
No, he's not.
Are you finished, Frank?
No,
they found some more ballots. Mr. Moderator. Has everybody got all their ballots in? Mr. Moderator, when I had the privilege a year ago of coming to Grand Rapids and attending for a week the Synod of the Christian Reformed Church meeting on this very campus, I was welcomed here to the campus by the Reverend Gerard Bauma. Mr. Bauma is the fraternal delegate of the Christian Reformed Church to our Assembly, and is here to bring the not fraternal greetings, since they will be brought by the moderators this evening. But Mr. Bauma is here to speak to welcome us as the representative of the host church, Mr. Gerard Bauma. Yes, Mr. Bauma.
Mr. Bauma, will you?
He can. You want
okay,
to speak from
you
there?
Speak for mic 5. Okay, we recognize you, sir. 15.
Yeah. Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren. Your kind stated clerk, whom I had not seen this last summer, and whom I therefore had great difficulty recognizing today.
I'm going to hear a lot of that.
Asked me to welcome you to the campus of Calvin College and Seminary. It gives me great pleasure doing so on behalf of the Christian Reformed Church, whose official delegate I may be to your honored assembly. Several years ago, our Interchurch Relations Committee has considered a suggestion of Dr. Aiken Taylor. I will not refer, for those who were present at the first NAPARC meeting, the pun the Reverend Dr. Cromagher had on this name. Those who were there will remember that he was Aiken. That the highest judiciaries of all the NAPARC churches would meet simultaneously in one location. And this campus seemed to us to be the best suited for such a historical occasion. All the facilities are used to use, from the library to what we have euphemistically called an natatorium. And the reason for the natatorium instead of the swimming pool perhaps was mostly for fundraising purposes, because most people wouldn't know what a natatorium would be anyways. And if there is anything that we can do to facilitate your meeting, please ask, and we'll be very happy to try what we can do. We also took note of the fact that even this morning, I understand, the kitchen was ready with the grits. Not being a Southerner, being a native from of the old country, from the Netherlands, I didn't even try, I didn't dare to. But we have received this campus, Mr. Moderator, from the Lord, and we also want to use it for the furtherance of the kingdom of the Lord. If there ever has been a time that the Reformed witness was a necessity in the world, then it certainly is today. Amongst all the confusion we see all around us, it only is the Word of God that can give us any sense of direction amongst this confusion. It's only the Word of God, as we also see it in Reformed tradition, when we believe that Christ is the King of all of our life. And as Reformed and Presbyterian communions, we must stand united amongst all the confusion that we see around us. And I'm very happy that in our worship service yesterday morning, where I had the privilege of preaching the word, the minister of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church played a piano. The president of the Synod of the Reformed Churches of the Netherlands pronounced a benediction. And it is only for the fact that I could not distinguish John Stodgill by his face as a minister of the PCA, else I would have also asked him to take part in the service from the platform. Brothers, we will have to seek for greater unity than only this. It is our fervent prayer that the Lord of the Church may see fit to so use also this week of our being together. Again, welcome to Calvin. The name of this campus is a very significant one. The man from Geneva has had a great influence and still has a great influence on our life as a church, and we also consider him as one of our spiritual forefathers. May the Lord bless you and bless all the other NAPAR churches as they meet here this week, and also as you return again to the charities he has entrusted to your care. Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, and I would like to, on the behalf of this body, express to you our sincere appreciation for all that has been done and is being done. And we are way away from the South, but we find a lot of warm hospitality up here, sir, and I want you to know we appreciate it, not just the grits, but all the other things you've done for us, sir. I am now ready to announce the results of the voting on the first ballot. Dr. G. Aiken Taylor, 208. Mr. Fred Manning, 15. Mr. Bill Iverson, 90. Mr. James Moore, 116. That means we'll have a runoff between Dr. Taylor and Reverend James Moore. So if the clerks will now proceed with the handing out of the ballots, we will vote between those two. Now, Mr. Clerk, what names you want to designate for which slots on the ballot, sir?
Mr. Moderator.
Good night.
Mr. Moderator.
Okay. Mr. Moderator, if we'll use again line number 1 for Dr. Taylor and line number 6 for Mr. Moore. If you wish to vote for Dr. Taylor, write his name on line number 1 and pull out the corner on line number 1. If you wish to vote for Mr. Moore, write his name, line number 6, and pull out the tab on line number 6.
The speaker at mic 6 is recognized.
Mr. Moderator, there may be some of us that do not know either one of these gentlemen. Would it be possible they might present themselves up at the front so that we might see who they are?
Thank you. This is an excellent suggestion. I'd like to ask Dr. Aiken Taylor and the Reverend James Moore, if they would come to the front of the auditorium so that the moderators may see them and know who they are voting for. Dr. Taylor. I'm told Dr. Taylor is not present.
Here he is.
Where is he? Here he is. Oh, we got the... We have the twins approaching.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that... It's only permanent committees, I think.
The gentleman on my left, the first one there, Dr. G. Aiken Taylor, and next to him is Reverend James Moore. The two gentlemen on whom you are now voting. Thank you.
Yeah, that's all we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 6:30 is what they announced originally.
Oh, it's always safe.
That's what the girls over there are ready for. Here's your man right here.
Rabbi and father of.
And he's got 6:45. He's got four different times we've been told about that. You know that's the right time. That's the time you want it. Okay. This will become the now official one. This is our PCA Dutchman, you see, and he knows what's right. Yes, sir. I think you could do so. You'll go right ahead. Yep. Yep. Again, to vote for him and tear out the corner, and or Mr. Moore, write his name on line number 6 and tear out the corner.
Is anyone who has not turned in the ballot, if so, please raise your hand so the clerks may collect your ballot. Some in the rear. Anyone who has not voted, please hold up your hands. Yes. This. Where are they? This. The gentleman at mic 8 is recognized, sir.
Mr. Moderator, Craig Rao, Grace Presbytery. There were some of us that didn't realize we should put the name at either 1 or 6 and use the old lines of 1 or 12.
If the tellers will take that into consideration, that you need to look for either lines 1 or 12 on more, or 6 or 12 for more. In other words, line 1 would still be Dr. Taylor all the way through, but some of them, he says, have voted for on line 12. So count either line 12 or 6 for Mr. Moore.
Can you handle that, Frank? Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, I have a couple of more announcements that could be made to while these things are being picked up. That Reformed Theological Seminary Alumni Breakfast, Tuesday, June the 20th at 6:45 a.m. There have been a number of different times floating around about that, but it's set for 6:45, Tuesday, June 20th, snack bar area below the main dining room in the Student Commons building. All Reformed Seminary alumni and their wives, as well as ruling elders from their churches, are cordially invited. Also, I'm asked to announce that the permanent Committee on Mission to the World, that's the Permanent Committee, not the Committee of Commissioners, Permanent Committee on Mission to the World, will meet immediately upon recess from this meeting in the basement recreation room of Vanderwerk Dormitory. Basement recreation room of Vanderwerk Dormitory. Permanent Committee on Mission of the World, immediately following this session. And then the Permanent Committee on Christian Education will meet after 4:30 recessed at that's the same one? At the Vanderwerk Study Hall. Those, I guess, are two adjacent rooms, is that correct? Yes, all right. Christian Education, then, 4:30 at recess today at the Vanderwerk Study Hall. That's all the announcements. Yes, sir.
Are there any ballots that have not been turned in?
Mr. Moderator, I was requested about the matter of our receiving and referring Mr. Williamson's resolution without receiving it. The rules do read, and perhaps we ought to go back and consider whether we want to receive it. The way the rules read with regard to new business, that new business must be presented to the Assembly before the close of the second day of business. All new business presented by members of the court must be in written form. His is in written form. And if received, shall be referred to the proper committee. I think we need an action of the court to determine whether you want to receive that as an item of new business. I think that's the proper way to do it, and we ought to stop and do it that way now so that we'll do it that way from here on out. If you want that motion read again, let me read it. The resolution of W. Jack Williamson. Recommend that the Book of Church Order 15-1-12 be amended to read as follows. The Assembly Permanent Committees are committees of administration, Committee for Christian Education and Publications, Committee on Mission to the United States, Committee on Mission to the World. Each committee shall be composed of 12 members divided into four classes of three men with four-year terms, eliminating the matter of non-succession after full term or 2 years of a partial term. This we had said we were going to refer. We really ought to have an action of whether you will receive it and refer it.
Mr. Moderator.
The Speaker at Mic 14 is recognized.
W.J. Stanway, Grace Presbytery. I move that this resolution be received and referred as previously recommended by the stated clerk.
You heard the motion. It has been seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, it's approved.
I'll give you one more announcement, and then we can have the retired moderator's report. Permanent Committee on Mission to the United States will meet at 6:30 in their committee room in the Science Building.
If you will notice your docket, the next item would be the report of the retiring moderator. And while they're tabulating these ballots, with the permission of the court, I would like to proceed and give you that report at this time. The primary duty of the moderator is to preside during the General Assembly in which he was elected to that office. However, there are other duties required both while the General Assembly is in session and during the time until the next moderator is elected at the next General Assembly. These duties and responsibilities are all spelled out in our Book of Church Order, the Rules of the Assembly, and the Bylaws of the Presbyterian Church in America. I'm able to report to you that all of these duties, along with other actions directed by the General Assembly, have been accomplished. The moderator is authorized to state or enunciate policies and positions established by the General Assembly, but does not have any authority to speak for the denomination on issues on which the Assembly has not established a position. Our governing rules and regulations are quite clear on this. We have received requests for statements on the PCA position for a number of matters which are being discussed by our society today. We have been very careful to express these exactly as established by the General Assembly. All quotations we have seen have been accurate, I'm glad to report. Some requests have been received for things we were unable to comply with, as these were things that the moderator was not authorized to do. Every effort has been made to carry on the work of this office in such a way as to not adversely reflect on the denomination or to establish any precedents that would cause problems for others who hold this office in the future. I'd like to discuss briefly the moderators' conferences. The two moderators' conferences were held as directed by the General Assembly. These conferences provided an opportunity for a direct exchange of information between our four committees and to discuss issues and programs facing the nomination. Suggestions were made for expediting and facilitating the transaction of business by this court. This was a matter of concern because the assembly is in session for only a limited period of time, as you are aware, and also the travel involved, along with expense and volume of business to come before this is 6th General Assembly. During these discussions, it was recognized that actions taken on all matters before the court must be handled in accordance with our established procedures and our bylaws and rules. These suggestions pertain primarily to expediting and getting matters before the court for consideration. Did not want a large volume of work to be pending on the last day or two of the session. You know what I'm talking about there. A number of possibilities were considered, which were passed on to the Committee on Administration and the Committee on Arrangements for consideration and possible use. The Moderators Conference has no authority to adopt any of these, but they passed them on. Some of these were such as the use of assistant parliamentarians. The rules of the assembly designate our stated clerk as our parliamentarian. Well, our stated clerk, as you all know, is the most capable parliamentarian, but he is also the source of information for both committees and commissioners. His services are very much in demand by the General Assembly, and he cannot be everything to everybody at the same time. And it was just felt that the use of assistant parliamentarians would assist us in getting answers to parliamentary questions when they arise, when our stated clerk is tied up otherwise. And another matter that was passed on was the suggestion for providing adequate clerical support for the committees while the General Assembly is in session, and that has been acted on and being carried out at this General Assembly. I'd like to briefly mention a little booklet we have asked be put together by a stated clerk. It's known as a moderator's handbook. It has been prepared, and it covers the responsibilities of the moderator, both while the assembly is in operation during our session and also during the period of time between General Assemblies until the next General Assembly. These are all spelled out, as I mentioned before, in the Book of Church Order and the Rules for the Assembly Operation and Bylaws of the Presbyterian Church in America. These have all been consolidated into one source, and a copy will be given to your newly elected moderator in hopes that it will be of assistance to him and others who will hold this office in the future. I assure you, fathers and brethren, it's quite an experience to come forward and have the gavel handed to you, and there are a lot of things that on the spur of the moment is difficult to take up, and I see some smiles on some past moderators out here before me, so you know what I'm talking about. There are other actions that were passed on to the various committees for action you hear about later, and I won't belabor those at this time. I would like to mention, though, the fact that holding the General Assembly in June this year has required extra work for a lot of people, and I do want to commend the presbyteries, the permanent committees, the coordinators, and others for their positive response for this shorter period of time to prepare for the General Assembly. Finally, I do want to express my appreciation for the opportunity to serve as your moderator. But I want most of all, fathers and brethren, to thank you and all the members of our denomination for your prayers, which have sustained me and been a source of strength during the period of time I've held this office. The clerk had just handed me the tabulation on the vote which was just taken by the General Assembly for the position of moderator, and total of 406 votes cast, 250 for Dr. G. Aiken Taylor, and 156 for Reverend James Moore. And I declare Dr. G. Aiken Taylor elected moderator of this 6th General Assembly. And I'd like to ask Dr. Taylor if he will come forward and ask Mr. Harold Borchette to accompany him to the podium.
Yes, sir. Okay. That'll be fine. You can give it to him if you want. Okay. Will you be seated? I must candidly say that I have never been as surprised or as overwhelmed. If ever any man needed the prayers of this assembly, the man standing before you needs them now. And in a moment I shall ask Harold Borchert to ask the Lord to forgive him for what he did. And I hope there's someone here at the close of the meeting who will be so kind as to tell the moderator what transpired so we'll know what goes into the next issue of the journal. Seriously, brethren, I covet your prayers, and I want to ask Harold Borchert to pray for us. Harold, would you do this?
Holy Father, we are met in thy presence. The things that we think and say and do are known of thee. Lord, our hearts are open before thee. We seek thy divine guidance, and we ask now thy particular blessing on thy son, Achan Taylor. And we pray, O God, for this one who shall direct the affairs of this meeting. And we would ask, O God, that all things that shall be done here shall be done to the honor and glory of our God and for the exaltation of his Christ. Bless him and bless us in the wonderful opportunity we have of a unity of witness this day and through the days of this week. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Microphone number 8.
Here. Sam Capel from Mid-Atlantic Presbytery, and it is our privilege to have in our congregation today the real brains of the Taylor family, Blanche Taylor, and I think that she too should be introduced to this august body.
Clerk, I see no one at the microphone. What is our next order of business?
Mr. Moderator, we have what is listed as the report of the stated clerk. Essentially, this has to do with the matter of the business that we assign to the various committees of commissioners. Now, at the direction of the Committee on Administration this year, we decided to call the committees of commissioners before the assembly. Technically, not according to our rules, and we are actually going to provide for that in the rules changes that'll come up in a few minutes. But committees of commissioners, by and large, all but three, which were granted permission to come on Monday, arrived here Saturday and have met at length Saturday, all late into Saturday evening, and some of them still meeting, as you've gathered, through this morning up until the time of our convening of this session. But I have been much impressed with the way in general in which these committees have diligently gone about their work and really gotten into the matters before the assembly that are in the handbook. There are just a couple of other items that I should point out. One, Mr. Moderator, is that we have received one late overture that should be passed out now, if we can. It's down here, that I passed on to the committee on mission to the United States, but which was not officially before them. If the assembly will permit this, it then becomes a matter for that committee to report on. If not, then it would be carried over till the next assembly. Mr. Moderator, while it's being passed out, it's quite brief. Let me read it, and then you could have a motion as to whether you will receive this and pass it on or not. It was received after our deadline for the receipt of such overtures. It's Overture 35 from Pacific Presbytery. The Pacific Presbytery overtures the Sixth General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America to incorporate into the boundaries of Pacific Presbytery the states of Arizona, Hawaii, New Mexico, Oregon, and Washington, as well as all of California. The present boundaries are only Southern California. And so they're asking that all of that be incorporated. This has been passed on to the Committee on Mission to the United States already. They're prepared to act on it, but it's not officially before the Assembly unless the Assembly will suspend its rules and receive this as an item of business for action at this Assembly.
Do I hear a motion that the rules of the Assembly be suspended for this purpose? I will accept motions upon recognition if you will at least stand or hold up your hand. Yes, sir.
So moved.
So moved. Was there a second? It's been seconded. Will a simple majority do this, Mr.?
I believe so, yes.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It is so ordered.
Mr. Moderator, I'm wrong about that. Rules may be amended or suspended only by 2/3 vote of the total enrollment of commissioners. We ought to take a show of hands to see that we have a 2/3 vote. I think it sounded like a unanimous, but we ought to take a show of hands, sir.
All in favor of the motion, please hold up your hand. Down. All opposed, please hold up your hand. 2/3 prevail.
And then, Mr. Moderator, I have one other item that has been handed to me today. I don't know. I believe Dan Moore handed this to me, that the General Assembly, to the General Assembly of the PCA from Korea, greetings from Korea, our prayers are with you, Korea Mission of the PCA. That's just a communication to be received as information. Mr. Moderator, there is no other new business that's come in late as we had last year, a number of late items. Everything else got into the handbook or the supplement. I must apologize to the Assembly that the supplement was so large. I attribute it in part to the fact we had the short year, but it's my purpose and intent not again to have that kind of thing of people bringing in reports after the deadlines for publication. To do it in good order, we need to have the handbook have the substance of the material and the supplement only a minor part of it.
Partial report from the Committee on Administration. Will the chairman of that committee please come to the front microphone?
And while he's coming, Mr. Moderator, I have a message for Mr. Bolus that as soon as he's finished this report, he's requested out at the desk, registration desk, for some further matters.
Mr. Michael Bolus.
Mr. Moderator, we are in position to make a partial report. The partial report, most of it is still being held up for someone, it was unknown, but I do know why. It will be here shortly. But on page 110, brethren, of your supplement, we have a recommendation to make concerning the rules of procedure of assembly operations. We will have several more of lesser importance. This one of main importance we would like to present at this time has to do with at the bottom of the page under item 9, 10-4, in parenthesis 4. Now, the recommendation which we are making is quite a bit different than the one that is in your supplement. I will read it to you. We have not had an opportunity to get it duplicated. That was the problem that we had incurred earlier. Let me read it to you. The Committee of Commissioners on Administration recommends that the rules for assembly operations be amended as follows. Procedure in debating a question. Debate on a main motion shall be limited to 20 minutes unless extended. when a main motion has been debated for 20 minutes, the moderator shall put the question to the assembly. Does the assembly desire to extend the time an additional 10 minutes? A simple majority will decide the question. If the majority decides not to extend debate, the moderator will call the question. If time is extended, the question of extension will again be put every succeeding 10 minutes until the motion is concluded. Each commissioner shall be limited to 5 minutes on the same question unless the court, by a simple majority, grants additional time.
No, he's got his, all my stuff in it. Are you ready to vote on that one, Mr. Chairman?
I so move, sir.
Motion has been made in respect to limiting debate. It's been seconded. When it comes from a committee, a second is not required, but the second is appreciated. Is there any discussion of this motion? I see no one in the microphone. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It is so ordered.
Mr. Moderator, it also calls for a two-thirds vote. I assume that was a two-thirds vote. Whatever you want.
Is there a request for a count?
Just.
That was a two-thirds vote.
All right. Mr. Moderator, as soon as the other printed changes are brought over to us, we'll be ready to present them, but we wanted to wait until that time. But this was the most important matter before us. Thank you, sir.
That concludes your partial report. Thank you, Mr. Bolas.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, one other item that Mr. Smart brought to my attention. There was a supplement to the Mission of the World report material that is to be handed out a little later. It was sent to the copy center the other day, and I failed personally to pick it up. That's my failure. I gave it in there and then have never gotten it. It will be handed out, but it's just a supplement to the Mission of the World report. There may be other such supplements, but they're really not new items of business. Mr. Moderator, the next item of business is a partial report of the Judicial Business Committee. Mr. Bolas, you are requested at the registration desk.
We're ready for that partial report. Committee on Judicial Business, Mr. Frazier.
I think there are reports out here to be handed out. Yes, sir.
Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, this partial report has to do with recommendation 19 of the Permanent Judicial Subcommittee. You'll find that on page 507 in the supplement. This has to do with a complaint from members of the Session of Westminster Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee, against the action of Presbytery of Tennessee Valley.
Everyone have a copy of the report? I believe you can proceed, Mr. Frazier.
All right, sir. The recommendation of your committee of commissioners comes to you in two parts. The first part is that the General Assembly approve recommendation 19 of the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business. That recommendation reads as follows: regarding the complaint received April 28, 1978 from members of the Session of Westminster Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee, against the action of the Presbytery of Tennessee Valley concerning the call for a meeting of the congregation of said church to consider a proposal calling for the adoption of a system of rotation of officers, we make the following recommendation. that although the complaint was not received within the time prescribed by the rules of the General Assembly, due to its serious nature, the Assembly lay aside its rules and hear the complaint by committing its adjudication to the Commission of the General Assembly. And secondly, that the General Assembly appoint the below-named men to a commission to hear the complaint from members of the session of Westminster Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee, against the action of the Presbytery of Tennessee Valley. There follows there the names of the teaching elders and ruling elders that we bring before you to serve as commissioners on a judicial commission to hear this complaint. And I move the adoption of this recommendation, sir.
Without objection, I will put the question in two parts. The first, the adoption of recommendation one, and secondly, the election of the commission.
Okay.
Any objection? Before you is recommendation number one. Is it all clear that the Assembly lay aside its rules to hear the complaint by committing the adjudication to a commission? Lay aside the rules will require two-thirds. Is there any discussion of this motion? All in favor, please raise your hand. That's it. All opposed, please raise your hand. The vote is adequate. Part number two constitutes a nomination, I believe. Is that correct, Mr.
Yes, sir.
Would the rules require or permit additional nominations from the floor?
Yes.
They
yes,
would.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, you are placing these names in nomination?
I am, sir.
Are there any further nominations or replacement nominations? If not, is there a motion that these men be elected by acclamation?
I so move, sir.
I accept that, although I want to see you from now on these motions.
Hold it, Mr.
Okay. Thank you. At microphone 16, are you seeking the floor?
Yes.
Microphone 16.
Mr. Moderator, I was wondering if it is...
Is this a question before we vote?
Yes.
All right.
I was wondering about the propriety of the moderator serving on the commission since we will need you here.
I seriously question the propriety of such action, sir. I see no one with a good idea. I'm going to have to put the vote. All in favor of the election by acclamation, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The commission is appointed. Do you have a time and place, Mr. Chairman?
No, sir. I would suggest that they meet this evening to begin their business, but I have no place.
Mr. Moderator, if I may suggest that the Assembly should name one of these men as conveners and that they would be directed to meet immediately following the recess now to indicate the time when they'll hear this case.
Mr. Moderator, I would move Jack Williamson as the convener.
Will you accept a withdrawal of that name, Mr. Chairman? He says he has another meeting conflict.
I'll accept his withdrawal and move across the line and name...
Microphone number 10. Go ahead.
Point of order, Mr. Moderator. Is there some reason for having more teaching elders than ruling elders on this commission, or should it not be an equal number of each?
May I respond?
Respond.
The Book of Church Order requires or suggests, I'm sorry, it requires for a commission, a judicial commission of the Assembly to be comprised of not less than 15 members, not less than 7 of those to be ruling elders.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. We still don't have a convener.
I would move you, sir, that Carl Bogue be named as convener and that the members of this commission meet immediately following recess of this session.
May I exercise personal privilege here? Is the conflict of meeting going to preclude either of you brethren serving on this commission? No. It's just a matter of time for convening the commission. Is that correct? That's correct. Yeah, all right, sir.
Mr. Moderator, maybe we need to set a different time for them to meet. Following the worship service this evening may be a better time for them.
I'm going to take the safe time. I'm going to take the privilege of suggesting that this commission convene where at the registration desk. Is that? At the registration desk following the evening worship, just long enough to establish a time and place of meeting. Is there any objection to that suggestion? Any objection? It's so ordered. At the registration desk following the evening worship service, just long enough to establish a time and place of meeting. Mr. Chairman, you have anything further?
Concludes our report.
Have you settled on who is the convener? I don't know that you finally settled on the convener. If Jack can be, why don't you go back to him?
Jack, can you do it that time? Can you be a convener at that time? The first name man nominated says he can be convener at that time. He was nominated first. Will the assembly accept that nomination? Just to confirm it, will someone nominate him again?
I so nominate Jack Williamson to be convener.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So ordered.
This concludes our partial report, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Clerk?
Mr. Moderator, we now have the orientation, and happily we have a deadline. We only have 20 minutes in which to do this. And between Jack Williams and myself, I think we can fill that 20 minutes, but we have a terminus. So if we can just make a brief presentation about the operation of the assembly.
Get me one of those forms for filling out motions,
so I can show it. Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, as we started last year with a brief orientation for the assembly, I think it was a very helpful thing. I think especially Mr. Williamson's presentation about parliamentary procedure, and we've asked him to come and bring essentially that same presentation again. You do not need quite as much orientation from me this time because you've already had your committees of commissioner meetings. Let me suggest one thing to you. If you have not already done so, that you take your notebooks and tear apart the blue book and the yellow book and integrate them. Let me suggest the way in which I personally have done it. It's going to be a very full book if you keep all these pages. If you'll tear apart everything but the last report, namely the number of offices, and keep that intact, you can pull it out and keep that elsewhere in your briefcase and have enough space for all the other papers that will be put in here. But I would urge that you tear apart the books now and go ahead and integrate those pages, and that you be ready then to insert pages in the right places. We're trying our best to get these pages numbered so that they'll go right into the book, that a report on judicial business comes in numbered right after the present material in judicial business. The report on mission of the United States comes in right after the material on mission of the United States. That's the whole reason for the loose leaf books and the pad form in which these, your handbooks have come and your supplements. So if you have not already integrated that material, I would urge that you do it and get that integrated at least before the session tomorrow morning so that you'll be prepared to receive these papers. And as I suggest, that last long report can be kept intact by not tearing it up, but keeping it intact as a single unit that could be pulled out of your book if you get too full a book. As we've already indicated, the basic approach to everything that the assembly does is to bring everything to the assembly through the committees of commissioners. You have in your handbook the committees, the permanent committee reports, or the ad interim committee reports. And the permanent committees all are filtered through committees of commissioners before they come to the floor. And actually, the business comes to the floor through the chairman of the committee of commissioners after they've reviewed the work of the permanent committee over the past year. They go over the minutes. They go over the report.
They go over overtures dealing with that permanent committee's work. They come in with their own recommendations, often the same as the permanent committee, but on occasion they come in differently, in which case both the permanent committee and the other committee have the right of presenting both viewpoints. But this is the way in which the business comes. The ad interim committees are the assembly's direct committees, and so they report directly to the floor of the assembly. So the ad interim committee on abortion, the ad interim committee on divorce, the ad interim committee on number of offices, these will report directly to you, and we'll fit them in around our permanent committee reports. As you've seen this year, we've scheduled the permanent committees beginning tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, Mission to the World, with their program and their report. Mission of the United States, program and report. Christian education, program and report. Administration, program and report. Each morning, given over to one of those programs and its respective report. We're trying this a little different from last year or last 2 years. We've had the programs all in one evening. But we felt that it would be well to try giving the program in conjunction with the report, particular programs in conjunction with the particular reports. And so we're trying that. We're trying to give the prime time. Last year we tended, because we got sort of late start on things, tended to get behind, and these permanent committee works were left to rather late in the assembly. This year we've given them special orders, first time each morning. And we think that that will expedite and get the real matters that the assembly wants to be spending its time with before the assembly, and give you the prime time on those matters. So that's the way in which the assembly is going to be operating. Let me point out to you a couple of things that I would personally want to recommend to you. I've personally picked up and have studied this little parliamentary procedure at a glance. The Christian Education Committee has provided these for you at a reduction of price, and they can be purchased at the table up here at the head of the stairs. By the way, someone up there indicates to me that apparently some people thought these were just handouts and picked up some of them before anybody was at the table. If you did so, please go back and pay the $2.25, which is the price for this book. But I would recommend this as an excellent little handbook that really summarizes Roberts and gets you to the issues or the questions about all of your motions in a quick, readily available and handy way to do. We're going to provide those for our clerks and for the moderator for their use. It will take a little reading to know just how to use this little book. But I would commend it to you for purchase, for your use at this assembly and at future assemblies. Parliamentary Procedure at a Glance by Garfield Jones. Further, with regard to the procedures, as we move into business and you begin to make motions that are of substance and of content, we desire really that you would write out every motion. And even as, now ordinarily a procedural motion such as to delay or to postpone something or to lay on the table is not necessary to be written out. But if it's a procedural motion that carries some complicated part with it, we got hung up last year on some procedural motion that read in a certain way, and we had to go back and find out what it was, and the man had not written it, and we did not have it in writing. If you have a procedural motion that is more than just the simple motion to call the question or the simple motion to lay on the table or something of that sort, write that out as well. But ordinarily, these motion forms are to be used, say, when you want to make an amendment that has three words or three sentences or a long paragraph. Write it out so that you can read it and hand in a copy to the clerk so that we can have it at the time you read it. If you can do that ahead of time, it would be preferable. This will certainly expedite matters. We will have these forms set out. We haven't done it this evening because of the short business session, but we'll have these forms out available at all the microphones and available generally for you during the assembly. We'll have them up here as well always for you. I don't know that there are other things I need to take any more time from Mr. Williamson, because he has some very pertinent remarks with regard to parliamentary procedure. Mr. Williams.
You want to say anything about this? That this form will be available for motion?
Yes, I've just mentioned that.
Okay.
Fathers and brethren, I have three B's for advice. Be ready, be brief, and be quiet. I think if you follow those, as I'm going to try to do now, you will, assembly will be expedited. I'd just like to speak to you a moment about the theology or the philosophy of the way we do our business together. Talk to you a moment about the way we handle the substance of it and the way we handle the procedure of it. I would just suggest to you as a way of thinking about it that I believe that the unity that our Lord spoke of in the 17th chapter of John is exhibited in this body. For we have a unity of calling, a unity of faith and order, and a unity of mutual love and confidence. A unity of calling in that our book of church order standard say that the visible church of which we are part, composed of all those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their children. We're gathered in a common faith in the Lord. He has called each of us. And so we have a unity in that faith. We have a unity in our common faith and order. We have all taken vows to the authority of the Word of God, its inerrancy and its infallibility as our authority. Vows to our faith as expressed in the Westminster Confession of Faith and our standards. And vows in our order, our common order, our book of church order. So we have a unity around which we are bound. And finally, we have a unity in that we have a common love one for another, flowing from the love of our Savior exhibited to us in his call of us. A common love and a mutual confidence. We are not adversaries, brothers. Remember that in our debate. Is it not possible within that unity to have a difference of opinion? I think certainly there is. So in our debate and in our differences of opinion, let us remember the way the Lord has unified us so gloriously to come together with so much in common. It's a great blessing when brothers agree and marvelous when they walk together in the Lord. So we can do it. We can have diversity of opinion within the unity of our calling, of our common faith and order in our mutual love. And remember that it was our Lord who said that the world would be watching us and would be entitled to judge whether or not we were his. How? By this, he said, shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love the brethren. We are brothers in Christ. And I suggest to you that we exhibit it in all our differences, in all our agreements. It's marvelous, the unity God has given us in this denomination. Let us remember it as we debate the issues. Now as to the substance. How do we get to the substance? Morton has told you about how it comes to the floor. You're going to have a permanent committee report printed in your handbook, and then you're going to have a mimeograph sheet, which is a commissioner's report. You need to follow the docket as to when those are coming up, and you need to compare the two. You need to be ready. You need to take the commissioner's report, for that's what's going to be presented to you, and you need to see how it compares with the permanent committee's report. Now, as you see that, as you do that, you'll find yourself in agreement or disagreement with various phases of it. So you need to be ready that when an issue comes to the floor with which you have disagreement, you need to be prepared to let your voice be heard in your position. How do you do that? You write a motion, which either is an amendment or a substitute to the committee report. It needs to be written. You need to be ready. You need to prepare it. You don't need to do it on the spur of the moment. You need to get prepared, and you have to get the reports and be prepared. Now, if you happen to be in the assembly and the matter goes by you and gets passed before you realize it, and you don't seem to be able to get the substance of what you want to say written down fast enough, or you can't get to the mic, then you always have a second chance. because each committee report must be adopted as a report of the whole committee. When every item had been taken up seriatim and acted upon, then the chairman of the committee of commissioners will move the assembly to adopt the report as a whole as amended. At that point, if there's something in that report that you missed and you didn't get to, you always have the opportunity then to be ready with your motion or with your substitute or with your amendment to present it to the floor at that time. So if it passes you by the first time, when the report as a whole is presented to the assembly, you have another opportunity to get your position and the substance of that report before the assembly. Now, as to procedure briefly. Be brief and be quiet. You've already seen you need to go to a microphone. Let me suggest to you that you don't talk too much and too many times. You're going to find, before this assembly is over, if you haven't already found, that there are going to be voices who are heard with resounding redundancy and repetition. And those voices will, I suggest to you, in your own minds and effectiveness, continue to lose their effectiveness as they appear before you and in your ears more often and more often. So I suggest to you that you select carefully the issues to which you will speak and not just be punched by your neighbor in the middle of a conversation when you hear something out of one side of your ear and jump and run to the microphone not knowing what you're saying. It won't work. But if you will prepare yourself and speak, be brief, but be prepared and speak not too many times, my suggestion is you will be more effective. If you are stopped in the course, you ruling elders, not being acquainted so much with parliamentary procedure and with this fearsome moderator we've just elected who's going to be so If you get stopped by some point of order or something and you don't know what to do, don't go sit down. Just stay right where you are at that microphone and say, "Mr. Moderator, I'm lost. Help me." Ask him. And the moderator, I'm sure, or the parliamentarians will give you advice as to how you might proceed parliamentary. You might have to back up. But don't be afraid. If you want to get it there, be bold enough to go to that microphone, recognizing that a lot of other folks don't know how to do it, and just ask. Don't be afraid to ask. If you're on the committee of commissioners, and you've had the opportunity to hear this issue debated and many points of it discussed, and the issue comes before the floor of this assembly, please share with the assembly items that you've heard that they might not know that will be helpful to the commissioners in resolving the debate. Members of the Committee of Commissioners who've had a chance to study the issues in more detail, please share that experience with the commissioners as we go. So I suggest to you three rules for expediting this assembly. Be ready. Be brief, and be quiet. Thank you.
There's one fourth rule, and that is call on Jack Williamson if you get behind. Microphone 14.
Mr. Moderator, I just would like to say that the part of the partial report that was previously presented is going to be printed, and when it is printed, we will get that into the hands of the men. Thank you.
Is that all, Mr. Bolas?
Yes, sir. We will wait for the rest of it until tomorrow.
All right. The moment for recess has arrived.
Mr. Moderator, we have several announcements, and we have some papers to be distributed. If the clerk would come on and distribute those while we're making these announcements.
Just 1 minute. There's someone at microphone number 11. To what purpose you come?
I have an announcement, sir.
Announcement?
Yes, sir.
Will you wait until the steward clerk has made his? All right.
Be happy to.
Mr. Moderator, we have three that I have not yet made before. Meeting of the Nominating Committee. That's the Assembly's Nominating Committee. There will be a meeting of the Nominating Committee in the room to the left rear of the Assembly Auditorium at 1 p.m. Tuesday. That's back over in here. Left rear of the Assembly Auditorium at 1 p.m. Tuesday. This will be an important meeting, and all the members are urged to be present. The Great Commission Publications Trustees Meeting, Monday, 6:45 p.m., Seminary Building in the Faculty Room. Great Commission Publications Trustees Meeting, 6:45 at the Seminary Building in the Faculty Room.
and the Committee of Commissioners on Administration will meet in their regular place in the basement of the library after adjournment at 6:30 p.m.
Is that all?
That's all I have, Mr. Moderator.
Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, the Committee of Commissioners on Christian Education will meet in room 139 in the Science Building at 6 o'clock, or as soon after supper as we can all get there. Thank you.
I see no one seeking the floor. I would assume that you are just waiting for distribution of these reports, and then we expect to stand in recess.
Mr. Moderator, I might indicate that it's my understanding that a second dining hall has been opened up, which is down the street, the one that we've been eating in, most of us who have been here earlier, in the Commons Building and by the tents, will continue to be opened, and we're welcome to that either one. It may be that more of our people will be able to get to the other and get in quicker, right down past the building where we registered when we came in for our rooms here. And also, the Calvin College people have indicated to me that they would like to let the clerk's office be used in the event you need such a thing as a typewriter or that sort of thing. They are available, but if you'd come to me, I know who to get in touch with if you need to have those sorts of needs.
Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, in the blue book, the material on the number of offices in the opening paragraph states that the minority report is in there. I've been through this thing a half a dozen times, and I can't find it. And I just wonder if I'm overlooking something.
Mr. Moderator, that report of the number of offices was being reproduced this morning. I do not know what its status is. Have any of you received it? Well, yeah, I think it was being handed out at the time at the registration desk, but did any of you receive it? If not, we will try to have it out just as soon as possible. It's sad that it is coming to you so late.
The program this evening will be in this hall, a joint worship service among the five denominations making up the North American Presbyterian and Reformed Council. We will be host church in this hall, but the presiding officer will be the moderator of the Christian Reformed Church, whose guests we are. When we come at 7:30, it will be for worship. Are we ready to stand in recess?
Mr. Moderator, the chairman of the minority group says his report is ready to be handed out. If he can find it, he's going to look for it. If you want to wait a few minutes, he'll try to have it ready to be handed out.
When does that appear on the docket, Mr.?
It comes later. It could be handed out later.
Let's distribute that at the time some other report is distributed.
All right, we'll do that, Mr. Moderator.
We will stand for recess until 7:30. Let us have a word of prayer as we recess. Lord, this has been an auspicious beginning of an important meeting. And we beseech thee for the continuation of thy Holy Spirit's presence upon us as we continue in this historic place for this historic purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand in recess.